Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us his grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of his kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
So while I was thinking, in the center of all of these experiences, I asked the Lord what he would want the people to hear tonight. And my heart went to something we always used to talk about while we were young with some of my friends, called the test of light. That's the theme for tonight, the test of light. And what do we mean by the test of light? Logically, according to the level of our revelation while we're growing up, we meant for the test of light to be that whenever God reveals something deeper about himself to you, that's how we saw it traditionally. I'm going to give you the actual definition. So you may just hear this one. Don't write it. All right? That's how we used to see it. So I'm not saying that's all to the definition. So we felt like whenever God takes you deeper into a revelation about himself, when you get to understand something deeper about God, and you begin to talk about it and boast about it, and you know, faith involves believing and speaking. Speak about it in faith. The devil tries to create a situation around you that will make sure that what you have seen does not become a reality. So, logically, as we grow up and we see, when we see somebody getting deeper into the understanding of God's word, you see some people, some brethren around us, they begin to tell the person, be careful, there will be a test of light of what you are hearing. So, logically, that's how we saw it. And it's not too far from the truth. In fact, it's not even far from the truth. Are we together? Now, Paul said something to us in 2 Corinthians 12. Let's see it briefly. The media had given us that part of scripture before. It says, an effectual door has been... Not that. It said, because of the abundance of the light. Can you remember that scripture? It says, Satan put a thorn... 12:7, right? Are we there? Can we read together? Are the media alive? Okay, because the tea is looking dead. So let's read together, church. One to go. We just have some minutes to leave here, so be excited. Don't think we're doing it to 10 p.m. No, we just have some minutes. It will be out from here. Do you believe that? God knows your heart. Want to read. Because of the extravagance. Well, that's MSG's business. Now, go to NKJV. Let's just read what we know. Want to go and... next part of scripture. Now, Paul had the experience, go back to verse 7 before he was writing it. Please, let's travel together. He had the experience before he wrote it. So somehow, when he had the experience, of course he understood whatever God was trying to achieve in the whole experience, right? There's this part of scripture in the book of James, I can't really remember, so somebody should help me check it, that says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. James 1 what? So let's see it briefly. James 1:3. I'm getting old, so I'm forgetting some of these things. All right. So let's start from verse 2. Can we read together? My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Next part of scripture. Why? Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Now, Paul is not saying God is the one testing us, right? But that if we find ourselves in any situation of trial and temptation, we should be excited because God can take advantage of the trial and temptation for our good. Are we together? And that's why somewhere Paul calls trials and temptation a light affliction. Now, of course, you all know that God doesn't tempt with evil. That's verse 18, right? 13. Let's see it briefly from verse 13. Let's read together. One, two, go. Let no one I am tempted by God, for God cannot tempt. You see what God is doing here? He's first comparing himself before talking to you. Why? Because we're in his image and likeness. He said, for if I wouldn't tempt myself with evil, then I wouldn't tempt you with evil. Because I trust my product. You are like me. Alright? So you don't need any tests. Did you catch what I just said? John 15:3, so that you understand what I'm trying to say. The Bible says in John 15:3, it said, you are already made clean because of my word that have been spoken to you. Now, if you remember, 1 and 2 talks about Jesus being the vine. See verse 1. General speaking, he said, I am the vine. My Father is a vine dresser. Next part of scripture, it says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he even prunes that it may bear what? More fruit. Right? Right? Hallelujah. My mind is driving somewhere. I'm being careful, but I think I will just hit it because every scripture I open still carries me to that direction. So let me just allow it flow. Now, if you look at this verse 2, he said every branch. Now, what we wanted to establish is that if you look at verse 1 and verse 2, the Bible speaks about vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes. The one that produces, he prunes that he may what? Bear more fruit. Now these are points so that we don't look lost. Verse 3, it says, but for you, the 12, you are already made what? Pure because of my word that is in you. Affirming the words in James 1, 12 and 13 that God does not tempt with evil because he himself cannot be tempted with what? Evil. So because his word is in us, the word there is logos in Greek. It means imagination, ideology. Alright? Since we have God's database on our inside, his word, that means we imagine like God. And the Bible says, a man imagines in his heart, so is he. It simply means we have the roots of what makes God God. It means we have the word of God, the nature of God. Say, I have the nature of God. If you think I'm lying, why did he now say, if I cannot be tempted with evil, you should not be tempted with evil? How dare God compare himself with us? Because he created us in his word, image and word likeness. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? And you must not have any problem about it. You know, there are some people that tell God, God, you are too big. How dare you say I'm like you? I can never be like you. I refuse. I'm nothing but a pencil in the hand of my Creator. It's not given to you to choose what you want to be in the eyes of your Creator. He has told you what he wants you to be like in his eyes. And if you have a problem with what God wants you to be like, you are not humble, you are stupid. That's just the truth. Do you get what I'm trying to say? And I'm saying, I'm perfect like God. How can I be perfect like God? Do you know who God is? Okay, tell us who God is. He's the most perfect of the perfect. The most purest of the purest. Agreed. Holiest of the holiest. Bigger than the biggest. Agreed. But all of these qualities are for God. We know that, yet he still said, I have created man in my word. And my word. And what did he say again? As I am, so are you. First Corinthians, John 4:17. As I am, so are you where? Not in the world to come. He's the one that said we're like him. See, forget about crazy people you have seen on the earth that don't look close to God, and have defined humanity as the people that are very limited from touching God. Man in his actuality is supposed to be like God. God created man in his what? Image. And so what? Likeness. We will naturally act like God if we think like God. Alright? And why God has no problem about that is because he knows, he trusts his nature. He is full of humility yet powerful. Knowing the kind of mentality he has, he knows that if I make a people like me, they will never stand up and say they want to be against me. Because I trust myself. If I'm a byproduct of somebody, I would not be against the person. The reason why Satan stood against God was because Satan was not like God. Are you get what I'm trying to say? The reason why we cannot stand against God is because we are like God. We have sense. Are you get what I'm trying to say? Satan was never like God. Think about it. The access we have to God, he never had. Look at the formula. The Bible said, if we see him, we cannot continue in our sin. Satan has never seen God. That's why he sinned. Because the formula says, when you see God, you cannot sin. So if Satan sinned, he has never seen God. But what of Adam? Adam never saw God. That's why he sinned. Is it big? Yeah. It's very big, isn't it? It's the truth. Let's calculate from the formula. If you see me, you cannot sin. Anybody that ever sinned never saw him. Are you able to get what I'm trying to explain to you? Yes. Adam, eat from the tree of life. Encounter me before you eat from the tree of the knowledge of what? Good and evil. What does that mean? Adam, if you don't know me, you cannot know what is not of me. If you don't know me, you cannot know what I am against. That's what God is trying to say. Adam never knew God, yet Adam came to a point that he felt like he now knew the difference between good and bad. It's just like you don't know me, yet you claim to know the things I hate. It's not possible. Alright? If Adam came to a point where he claimed he ever knew what is wrong from right without fully knowing God, Adam has died. Adam died. That's what happened. That's what we call your eye don't tear. When we tell people in this world that vernacularly, say, your eye don't tear, it simply means that person is becoming stupid. Maybe she thinks she knows, he thinks he knows, but he's just being stupid. And that's why if you look at them, most of them that their eye don't tear, they want to go to club. They want to smoke. Because they think they now understand life. They want to have boyfriend. Now that's death. They are delving into part that would destroy them. What I'm saying is not far from scriptures. The Bible said in Hebrews 5 around 12. Let's see it briefly before we run back. Hebrews 5 around 12. He said, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, Paul speaking. He said, you need someone. Now Paul was angry with the church, right? He said, I'm expecting you people to be teachers, but you people actually need somebody to teach you again the basic principle of the gospel. And you have come to need milk and not what? Solid food. Because I came to you expecting that you haven't teaching other people yet. Alright? But seeing your character, you actually need milk because you are babies. And not solid food. Are we together? Why? Next part of scripture, he kept on explaining. He said, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the words of what? Righteousness. For he is a babe. So if you only partake of meat, it's because you are not eating meat. And what is meat here? Another substitute for meat is what? You being skilled in the words of what? Righteousness. What are the words of righteousness? The words that tell you your place in Christ Jesus. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? So he said, if you are partaking of milk, substitute unskilled in the word of righteousness to meat. If for everyone who partakes only of milk, he's not eating meat yet. Has not experienced meat yet. Because the initial scripture says, talks about milk and meat. Are we together? So milk is for children and meat are for what? The mature. So if you are behaving like you need milk, it's because you have never eaten meat. Are you people get what I'm trying to explain? And he reciprocated those such a people for people that he expected to be mature. But because of their behavior, he then says they need milk. They are children. They are babes. Do you understand? 1 Corinthians 3:3 affirms that. It says, since there's envy, backbiting, lousiness, coming to church late, disrespecting, your hatred is amongst you, you are still babes. Alright? You have to tell you when to post the word of God, ministerial material. It says you are still babes. It says you desire, you need milk, not strong meat. In other words, when you have, for instance, some people in church who have been 3 years and they don't know how to share the word of God even on their social media handles. But when it comes to joke with their friends, they can screenshot it and share. You know, they are not even excited sharing the word of God. They are not even publicizing times for their meeting. They don't tell people about church. Paul says such a people are what? Children, babes. Is it, if you discover such a people as an HOD, you should gather them and give them milk. And it's not a bad thing. Meaning, start teaching them again from the beginning. Because you thought they knew, but they don't know. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Are you people seeing the application of the word of God? It applies to every area of our life. So, Paul said, as long as there are these qualities within you people, he said you are children or babes. So, that's what Paul meant for here. Are we together? Go back. See, that's why I fed you in milk. I would have read that, but just leave it. Next part of scripture. He then says, but solid food belongs to what? Who are what? That is those who by the reason of use have their senses what? Exercised. We're traveling somewhere. So that they are able to what? Discern between what? Good and what? Evil. I mean, if you understand the words of righteousness, which is also meat, which is also solid food, what happens? You come to a point that you are mature in the Lord and can tell what is wrong from what is what? Right. Fulfilling God's claim of what he prophesied in the Old Testament about the new creation. He said, I'm going to raise another set of people and the law will not be on tablets of stone again. He says, because I'm going to write the laws in their heart. He said, the least to the top will know my name. Remember I said that, right? And this is how it will happen. That as we know our place in Christ Jesus, you know, knowing God is knowing your place in Christ Jesus, isn't it? As you know God and realize who you are, you know, God's word is like two-edged sword, the Bible said in Hebrews 2, like two-edged sword. When you know God, you know yourself. Because in Him we live, breathe, and have our being. As we are knowing Him and knowing ourselves, we are getting mature, understanding life better, and come to a point, Romans 12:2, that we can, our minds are getting renewed and we're getting transformed and can tell what is God, good, acceptable, and what? Perfect will. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? I hope you are not confused. So that's what it means for Adam to first eat from the tree of life, which is eating from solid food. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? Which is knowing God, which is partaking of meat, so that when Adam now partakes of the knowledge of good and evil, it will be for the right purpose. It will not be unto death for him. Because for instance, if I don't know God and I claim I know all that God hates, it's a big trouble. Because I don't know God. So the things that God does not hate, I may think he hates it. Because I never knew God completely. And that way I may be doing something thinking I'm pleasing God, but I'm doing it unto death. Are you people get what I'm trying to explain to you? Just like in the Christendom now, there are some people that look very odd and they feel God likes the way they dress. Meanwhile, God never taught anybody to look that odd. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? You know, some people have heaven dress and it's not in the scriptures. They carve all of those traditions for themselves. Because before you encountered God, you never knew anything about life. It is in encountering God that you understand life. The Bible said, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, in Him was what? Life, the life became the what? Light of men. Meaning if you don't encounter God and experience His life, you will not understand how to live your life. Do you understand? Because you've not encountered light itself. So such people you observe, they are doing things in the flesh. And, you know, when you look at them, you think these are really Christians, but all of a sudden, they begin to act like unbelievers. You know, not trying to condemn this lady one time in BSU. She was from this one of this holiness movement. She didn't used to wear earrings and she had a particular way she was dressing. And all of a sudden, after one long what they call this thing? Not break, strike. She came back and she was pregnant. And she wasn't married. And people began to laugh at her. And I just felt this compassion towards her. You know, she means well for God and His kingdom. She really wants to live for God. But she found another law in her members, working against the desire she has for God in her heart. She wants to live for God, but the nature of her humanity wouldn't allow that to happen. Are you listening? So she fell a victim to the devil. Because she had her own, she, you know, Bible said being ignorant, Romans 10, is it verse 3, is it being ignorant of God's righteousness, they've created for themselves another righteousness. Being ignorant of God's righteousness. And I said to you, when you create expectation, have high expectation. You know, we know what righteousness can do. If you truly understand your place in Christ, you should live like the devil does not exist. But what if your description of righteousness is false or some assumptions probably? For instance, let me do it like this. Do you know if you carve or cascade, have the marks of a lion, if you really know a lion, and design, how many of you have seen this, is it documentary or call it or what? Programs where somebody enters the body of a tiger. Is it cascading? Let me use scientific term. Cascading of a tiger. And when he enters the show, everybody wants to run away because they felt it was a tiger for a moment. I people get what I'm trying to say. Why will they run away? Because they've watched tigers on TV. They've seen tigers. They know what tigers look like. Now imagine you had a wrong picture of a tiger. Now let me use a lion probably. We all know that a lion has a what? He has a what? And a very what? Now for you probably a lion has a big waist and a very small head. Maybe that's what you were taught. Listen to what rock doctrines can do. So, for instance, the Bible says, they that know their God, they shall be strong and do exploit. Now, the knowledge of God, instead of big head and small waist now, for you, is big waist and small head. So, you now wear that knowledge and enter the jungle, thinking you will scare some gorillas for a moment and monkeys, before you now run back outside the jungle. So, the person that described a lion for you, now gave you, you now enter. As he did, then you now observe that tigers are coming close to you. And you are wondering, they don't know what a lion looks like. And they are coming to plug off your head. But you read that the lion is the king of the jungle. And every animal is scared of that beast. But you, they are not scared of you. Because in your mind, you are a lion. But what you are putting on, the knowledge you are putting on of a lion is what? False. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? So what then happens? You'll be eating. You had expectation. You were banking on that knowledge. You had expectation. You heard what that knowledge can do. They will be strong and do exploit. So you were ready to do exploit with your knowledge, wrong assumptions of God. And as you entered, you were exploited on. They did exploit on your life. That is where some people come back again and say, there is no God. You know, in my little walk of faith, somehow God has given me the privilege to speak with a lot of atheists. A lot of them. And sometimes when I meet them, I ask God, is this my call? Because if I turn like, I'm not planning to preach to anybody today, but I just sit somewhere and just do my head like this, I'm an atheist. I say, hey God, not again. And so I was speaking with one not too long, and he told me, I don't think I believe in God anymore. I said, we will talk. So he said, anytime, Pastor, he's not around, he's doing well, he's not suffering. He thinks when somebody's suffering, that's why they don't believe in God. This one has a lot of money, and he doesn't believe. And, you know, sometimes when you hear somebody say, I don't believe in God, say, hey, devil, bastard, stupid boy. They didn't train him well. He didn't have good home training. Me, no believe in God. They go beat me for house. If they needed to beat you in the house before you believe in your Christianity is even false. It's not a strong, you're not a good Christian. That simply means some of you, you know that the day you say there is no God, you are finished in this life. That is why you are saying there is God. You don't even know why there is God. You cannot even prove the God. You just know if you just talk, there is no God, I don't believe in God. Your father will say, I'm not paying your bill. Your mother will say, get out. Everybody will beat you. Your brothers and sisters will block your number because you have turned the devil. So when he said it, I just said, just call his name and joked. And I said, we'll talk on a good day. So he said, Pastor, anytime you are free, I'm always free. And so I called him. It has to be a WhatsApp call because he's not within his space. And while we're talking, all of a sudden, I said, speaking to him. Now, I've spoken to a lot of atheists and I know where they are coming from. I know the angle they are seeing. Like, they are very easy to talk to. Very easy. So I started painting all the pictures in his heart and explaining. And I said, the God you know, in summary, is not a God that it is. Let me put it like that. The actual God is not the God you hate. That's what I told him. I said, the God you hate is the one religious people give you. I said, there is God, he's there. He does not find anybody's trouble. He said, the God they painted to you is the one you heard in church and on the internet. That is why you hate him. And I told him, I assure you, he is not involved in anything you are thinking. And as I explained. The first thing is, words he said to me was this. He said, sir, I'm very shocked the way you are calm about the matter. He said, I've said this thing and people block me, people hate on me, people insult me. Then I said to him, and I'm being honest, I said, I'm not preaching for you to change. I said, I'm preaching for you to know the truth. And when I'm done, I'll not ask you whether you believe in God. I'll just end the conversation. I was being 100% real with him. Now, I was not preaching for him to say, oh, yeah, as I finish that, can you lift your voice, lift your hands now and say, Jesus is coming to my hand today? Yeah. I said, that's not what I'm trying to achieve. I've never done that to any atheist. Rather, when I'm done, they say they want to receive Jesus and I'm excited. And I've never persuaded anybody. You know, sometimes I see people preach, and when they are done preaching, they say, if anybody's here that want to receive Jesus, tomorrow may be too late. Don't allow this opportunity to pass you by. See, I want to tell you a story. There's somebody like this, they were preaching many years ago. He did not hear. As the service finished, he just went out and died. And he was not born again. Tell me, where would that person be? Right now, where is he? Say, hell. So today is an opportunity. You don't know what will happen 2 minutes when you leave this road. You may die. Where will you spend eternity? Now, if this person receives Jesus, if he coincidentally received Jesus, it's because he wants to use Jesus' head. It's not because he believes in Jesus. He doesn't want to go to hell. I can tell you, let me not be indisciplined. A fair percentage of Christians are not Christians because they love God. Just imagine you tell a lady, I love you because of what you have. She will not trust your love. Huh? So why do you love me? Say, your shape, mad. she will not trust you. Because you're going to see better shapes out there. And the moment she's working with you and she sees a lady who is better shaped than her, even her mind will be doing boo, 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 boo. She'll be expecting you to touch. She'll be looking at you with bombastic side eye. What are you going to touch? She will always be suspecting you because that love is not a pure love. Same thing when a lady says, I want to marry the guy because he has money. He has Corolla. He is a beard gang. We can't trust that love. Because if you are being honest, you are not the only one that have beards. If you think you have beards, there are more people that have better beards. If you think you have chest, there are better chests. If you think you have six packs, you know, sometimes I wonder if ladies are stupid. Listen carefully. How can you tell me you like somebody because of your chest and what do you call this thing? Packs, arts, abs. Have you ever seen anybody working with his abs out? So how can you tell he has abs? Now, you say, Pastor, some used to put it on Facebook. Those are stupid boys. Any boy that put his abs for you to see, he's ready to ask you. He wants to destroy your life. He knows what you want. You think you are the only one on his DM, in his DM, saying your heart is fine. Oh, there are over 1 million like you there. There is no temptation that is not common to man. That's why, see, no matter what we say, we walk by what? And not by what? You can argue with your phone till you die. It's the truth. This life we walk by faith and not by sight. You can't test before marriage. You must be stupid. You walk by faith. That is why you must hear God. There are cases, so. So I married the man. I did not know. Then, so I want to quit the marriage because I'm disappointed. Some say I married and. That's why many are saying, you know, I saw that question in one of the church programs. Pastor, can we test before marriage so that we know the product we are buying? Another stupid question. Is it, can we test to know our sexual compatibility? So I wonder. Sexual compatibility. When you buy a car that is used, you have to test it around town for like 50 minutes. To be sure that some of the parts are not faulty. Because it has been used before. But when you buy a car that they call tear rubber, you just put the engine oil and you move. Because it has not been used before. So if you must test compatibility, sexual compatibility, it's because you believe you are used and you are buying a used product. And that's not God's will for us. Hey, Pastor, but for me, I'm born again, but I've had some of this. Now, calm down, listen to me. We're not joking here. I had some of these experiences before. Be born again. Firstly, secondly, let your minds be renewed. Stop watching stupid content. People of God, if you know the kind of programs in this world to make you be stupid, become stupid. I mean, sometimes we watch these our Facebook videos. We can't deny we see these things. People are they are doing a program on TV where people are staying in the Iceland for like how many days or months, and all they are doing is kissing and having sex. And in fact, they don't even have a vision of getting married. I mean, it's just for fun. Then when they are done, they go back to meet their real partners. And these are things we are consuming on the internet, on the TV. Comedy around sex. Contents we watch on Facebook around. Then one of the most important programs we have, Big Brother Nigeria, to show you how foolish our minds are. How our minds will never make them. See, I'm not trying to condemn this country. But with the rate at which young people are indulging in this program, if Isaac Newton, Albert Einstein, Gregor Mendel, Michael Faraday, and all of these heroes, scientific heroes, if they never were tedious with their work, if it's this generation that would have discovered light, if it's this generation that would have discovered electricity, if it's this generation that would have discovered motion, we'll still be in the villages. I'm not joking. I'm telling you facts. And I hope you know most of these people I called were Christians. I hope you know most of these people were Christians. Isaac Newton, a theologian. They were Christians. Many of you can be an effective Christian and an effective scientist. Tell your neighbor, I want to be the best. I'm born to be the best. But you see, this wave Satan is bringing, this nuisance, this stupidity of sex, this one, it's causing distraction. They are all distractions. And it's not a joke. We shouldn't joke about it. We should take it very seriously. See, it's consuming a generation. I tell you the truth, there were analyses done. that 90% of, let me not be indisciplined again, 60% I heard from a pastor saying it, 60% of teenagers, what they search on their search engine on the internet is pornographic content. Pornographic content. That's why what they consume. They did an analysis and they showed how Africa, especially Nigeria, consumes this content. That the first website people check, the last one is God's Generous. The first one. It's not Bible app, so the first one, if you not hear it from my mouth. I was shocked. Teenagers, 13, 14, 15, and their minds, they are struggling already at 15, 16. They are already struggling. How would that person become an effective doctor? That's why we have doctors today who don't have time for patients. They don't have time for patients in the hospital. Because there's a babe waiting for them. You know, you see, Bible says righteousness exalts a nation. He said, but sin is a what? Reproach. There are doctors that will not see a patient, they would rather go and see a woman. Do you know how indiscipline have killed a lot of people in the hospital that were calling devil? I told you an experience I had in one hospital in this town. Like I said, I don't want to kill their market. Entered and I saw rubbish happening. My sister was in labor. Those days when we hear somebody's in labor, like seven doctors will be there. Some will be praying. So I'll be observing. No doctor came, only nurses shouting, ranting their mouths. For me, I don't take rubbish. If you're a nurse, if I come to your hospital, you are finished. If you shout for me, I will hold you on your cloth and warn your generation. How dare you? And after we spoke and spoke and spoke, Tess, we were there 5 a.m. in the morning. What is 5 a.m.? 12 midnight, I came there. That means I slept outside around, I went out around 3 a.m., came back around to 6. She was still looking in the hospital, just cover one blue cloth for her. She was just smiling. Her son was not seeing. And crying. Nothing. I went to them. They said, let money reach first. They can't walk in the night. I said, ah. Wow. Let money reach. Hi. You know, I almost regretted not being a doctor. That was one of my, when I was growing up, I everybody was thinking I was going to be, because, you know, as well, I don't know, but it's well. And I got offended and I spoke to some people there. I said, what is me? So when it was not 8, it was not 9. Around 11, they took her for tests. What, was it A3 or scanning or whatsoever? They took her out for it. 11, going to 11 a.m. After so much talk, do you know why they took her? I called one doctor at Sandra Hospital. I used to know him. As I called him, he said, bring her fast. That's terrible. From 2 a.m. I mean, he said, are you okay? He said, bring her. I carried her on the wheelchair. I was moving. They were saying I should come and clear money. Money from 12, this thing. And the check they were checking, I have to pay like 30-something thousand. So I had some money. I poured it on the counter. I think it was more than 30,000. As I was going, they said I can't go until the doctor signed. Oh my God, my Karaski just unveiled. And I said to the guy, I said, if you're a born you well, touch me. And some people say, Pastor, how will you talk like that? I said to the guy, with the love of Jesus, I plead the blood of Jesus right now that you will allow me. I'm being real, people of God. I told him, if they born you well, stand on that road. For a moment, I remember I grew in ND Barracks. For a moment, in Kapasa. The guy was so wise, he left the road. And I went out, about to put out my car, and one old man from nowhere came and knelt down, was begging that to paint the hospital bad, blah, blah, blah. That they would do everything now. And begged me, and because he was elderly, I respected him and came back. Do you know that was when they took me serious? Everybody started coming from nowhere. Where is the patient? Where is that patient? But before then, I remember again, test results. This story is the pain. Anytime I'm saying it, I'm feeling the pain. Test results. They sent the doctor to analyze. I went, they said, doctor is busy. So I thought somebody was dying, so doctor was trying to bring the person back to life. I waited for 30 minutes. I stood up again, they said, don't open, doctor is busy. Ha! I went back. The third time I did not ask, I pushed the door. A lady was on doctor's seat. Doctor was gisting the lady. He was giving her words of hope. She was on the seat. Then Iska, doctor. You people don't know that this is your profession. Some of you that are doctors or doctors to be. You don't know that such a thing can take you to hellfire. If a patient die, you can't make heaven. See, it's not a joke. Oh. In that kind of state, how will you go to heaven? You are a wicked soul. Those days, before you become a doctor, they will check your character too. You know, it's so painful. Anytime I talk about it, I get pained. I was so shocked. I remember I looked at it and I said, really? That's what I asked. I said, really? Then I said, no, they've not sent results. I said, they've not sent results. Really? A doctor? This is what you are doing? And I said, I'm so disappointed in you. This is a mistake they made on you. And I left that place. And took her. That's why in the back mind I came back. And like they predicted, finally they say it was going to be a CS because the water has gone out too much. Oh, I remember she was crying and shouting and that she doesn't want it. But I told her to do it and prayed in the Holy Ghost and had peace. And the baby came out wonderful and etc. And we promised the hospital will never come there again. Till Jesus come. Hallelujah to Jesus. Now, if your hope is in this world, you are of all men most miserable. Hospitals that cannot even bring a child from a woman, safe delivery, is them you are trusting to prevent you from death. I've gone to hospitals in this town that their weighing machine was not working. To weigh somebody and know the actual weight, it's not working. And it's not like it was new. When they were checking the weight, we said, what kind of weight? The person was 3.8. They now say 2.0, it's a baby. So we're worried. The woman, I'm surprised. This thing is not working since now. They said, what of the other one? I said, that one has stopped working since how many years ago? And it was there. That's what they are using. Well, our hope is still high. God will raise wonderful people. Amen? Hallelujah to Jesus. Where was I before I entered this place? This pain in my heart. He said, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness are seeking to establish their own righteousness and have not what? Submitted to the righteousness of God. I was speaking about that lady, right? That way, they created their own path of righteousness. Like I said, the wrong assumption, the assumption of a lion, entered the battlefield and Satan dealt with them. She felt she was a strong Christian. She had her own righteousness. You know, if you look at verse 1, Paul said, pray for the religious folks. They felt they were cool with God. Israel. He said, my dear brethren, my heart desire for Israel and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be what? Saved. Look at Paul praying for a religious nation to be saved. Because they didn't know God. They were only being what? Religious. And Paul knew that was dangerous for them. Because they just had assumptions of God. And if they go through life with that mere assumption, Satan will hit them hard. And that's what the Bible said in Matthew 15:9. Very popular part of scripture we read there. It says, very fast. It said, and in vain they worship me. Why? They are teaching us doctrines. What? Commandments of men. So men are consuming commandments. Church members are consuming commandments of men. Are you here tonight? For doctrines. They had wrong doctrines. Took the wrong doctrines. Cascaded them. You know, they felt that was the knowledge of God. Ran through life with it. And the devil hit them. So their worship in God became vain. It's seeming like vain. That's why worship must be done in spirit by truth. That's how it's written in the original. In spirit by truth. Or through truth. You can't just stand up and be shouting. You must say things that make meaning. That's why sometimes I come and counter some of your songs here. Because worship is not just imagining things that don't exist and be saying them. That's not worship. You must know what you are saying. It's done in the spirit by truth. The Bible says we are the circumcision of God in the spirit. I mean, in Christ Jesus. God who is the spirit in Christ Jesus. I mean, in book of Philippians. In other words, our qualification to worshiping God in the spirit is true truth by Christ Jesus. Jesus calls himself way, truth, and what? Life. No one accesses the Father except by encountering Jesus. So without truth, your worship to God is just a fallacy. It's in vain. It's as if you throw something and it misses. You miss the target. In your heart, you are assuming that you want to get that thing, but you don't get it. And why are you not getting it? The Bible says because you are taking for doctrine. You are consuming for doctrine the word commandments of men. That's why when you try, you faint. Because this understanding, these doctrines are supposed to be like our foundation, our rock. The Bible says, Christ, the solid rock on which we stand, all other ground are what? Sinking sands. In Luke 6, it says, a wise builder dugs the ground to build his house on a rock. He said, that is why when the troubles of life come on that wise builder, he will not fall because his life has been built on the rock. But if you are building your life on wrong doctrines, when troubles of life come, though, there's going to be a test of light, a test of your understanding. And why you fell is not because of anything, not because God is not great and wonderful, but because your understanding of God is a lie. And that understanding is the foundation you are standing upon. That is why when troubles and the cares of this world come upon you, they what? Hit you down. So why did you fall the last time? Not because God is not king, but your perspective of God is wrong. And that is why he said, what I did on the cross is not enough. You have to understand it. Because the way you were designed is that you can never prosper beyond the prosperity of your soul. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So even though God has done it, you have to understand what God has done. I don't know if I sent a video to Nathaniel yesterday. Did I send one link to you? Okay, I did not. It was of a father walking. And there was a limitation. Some of you would have seen videos similar like this. There was a limitation on his path. So the father crossed the limitation. He had a boy. And so while he went away, people were expecting him to come and help his child cross that limitation, that rope. But he left the boy. He told the boy to cross it. Very little boy. I'm not sure the boy was even talking yet. Hearing but not talking yet. So he left the boy. He pretended like he was not actually seeing the boy. Now, is anybody going to say that father does not love the boy? He loves the boy. But he wanted the boy to cross the rope by himself. And the reason why he was not looking at the boy is because he didn't want the boy to feel emotional and feel like if he feels, he will come and help him. What was he doing? He wanted the boy to really what? Explore every intelligence on his inside and cross that rope. Because he will not always be with the boy. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? So, the boy tried in the video, he could not. He tried. He wanted to cry. In fact, he cried. The father still looked at him, pretending like he was not seeing him. And finally the boy crossed. Then the father ran and gave him a high five for crossing. There was another one again. The boy told the father that he doesn't know how to swim. He said, you don't know how to swim. And he took the boy and threw inside the river. And the boy was struggling to swim. Then the mother came. But unfortunately, at the end of the struggle, the boy eventually started swimming. So the mother said, well, how dare you do that to the boy? You know, said, not even me, no. He said, go and save the boy, I mean. She now said, I don't know how to swim too. You know, then to her, you don't know how to swim? She now ran for her life because he was about to carry her too and throw. Eventually the boy started swimming. You know, I don't know if it's Jimmy Swagger or something. There was this picture of one of these American Hollywood actors. He trained one of the boys and his wife trained one of the boys. So the boy he trained looked smart, had six packs and muscles. The boy the mother trained looks like a woman that is fat without shape. And I'm saying you what I'm saying to you what I saw. So what was it about? The woman was passionate about the boy. If the boy falls, she will run, carry him cotton wool and clean that part. That he scratched his leg. But I'm sure when the other one was growing up and he fell, the father would say, why are you falling? Are you a woman? Be a man, don't fall. Next time, don't fall. And then while he's crying, the father will say, why are you crying? Are you a girl? Don't cry. But the mother will be like, honey, why are you crying? What do you want? Ice cream. Let's go. If you look at those two children now, who will become outstanding in life? The one trained by the father or the one trained by the mother? Huh? No, just answer. The man trained by the father or the man trained by the woman? The one trained by a woman will die early self. He may have obesity. If they block him, they may kill him. But that one trained by the man, there is no lungu he does not know in any area. That's why the Bible did not say the mother's love. It said the father's love. God did not make mistake there. Everything is prophetic. Now, with all respect to mothers. And that's why as a woman too, if you don't experience your father's love, we will see it somewhere in your life, except you know God. We will see it somewhere in your life. Because as you are growing with your mother, it comes to a point that you can challenge your mother. But they did not bond you well to challenge your father. They did not bond you well. Most ladies raised by their mothers, they can talk. I would not to be okay, you know it, Abby. It will be quiet. But let the father be around, for instance. And he says one thing, then you repeat. He said, you said what? No, sir, I said you are fine. That's why when your mothers meet your fathers, they add extra lies. Because even them, they find comfort there. Hey, and they kill me today. Oh, I wake up. And they come and kneel down here. And then I tell her, she said, go punish me. She put that on my face. And then insult me today for my neighbors. Everybody they see her. And then tell me, say, go punish me. And then tell me, say, if you come back, say, nothing will happen. How many of you have been there before? And you're like, dear mother, when did I say this? Holy mother. Your mother will do like she's not even looking at you. And except they beat you, she will not rest. And if they beat you again, you still run to her. Hallelujah to Jesus. That's why the Bible said, media, bring that scripture for me. It said there is no temptation that's come to you beyond your ability to overcome. Ah, Rabagash. That there is no temptation in this life that has come to you beyond your ability. He didn't say there are some temptation. He said there is no temptation. Can you look at for that scripture for me? It's in 1 Corinthians what? 10 what? 10. What? 13. Okay, we're still around there. Just 10, then 13. 3 verses. Alright. He said no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. In other words, you have not seen any temptation around you that is strange. God is saying any temptation you see around you is a normal temptation. It's common to men. He said, but God is faithful. Somebody say amen. Amen. He's faithful. Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond that what you are able? That's the faithfulness of God. That anything you have seen in your path today, God is saying, hey, you are able. That's why I allowed it to come. He's faithful in that regards. But Simon, you mean with this thing I'm going through, with this thing I've been going through for 17 years? God said, the Bible says he's faithful. That the reason you are seeing this is because there's something in you bigger than it. He said, but with the temptation, will also make the way of escape. That you may be able to bear it. And that's why the Bible says, count it all joy. He said, count it all joy. Count it all joy. Count it all joy. There is no money, count it all joy. You are speaking and calling for the money. He's not coming for it. Be excited. He's preparing your heart for something massive. You don't start crying and say, hey, I'm afraid that there's no money. I'm afraid. No. Satan is trying to make sure that you are frustrated about your identity. Paul said, because of the abundance of light. Because of the abundance of light that came to me. Satan said, you are not going to pass this limitation. I'm going to make sure that this light you are seeing, you will not enter the reality. So he put a limitation on Paul. There was then a temptation of Paul. Now I said, when Paul wrote that, was not when Paul was experiencing it. He had passed the experience before he was writing it. So Paul was saying that even though that Satan did that because of the abundance of light given to me, I was still excited. Because in the situation, I saw the glory of God. See what he said. He said, I saw the Lord 3 times to take that infirmity from me. But the Lord told me. Now, he was expecting something to come out from the clouds. He was expecting, like some of these religious, some of us who are religious Christians. God, oh Lord, come down and manifest your power. Oh Lord, come down. I'm sure he was waiting for one supernatural effect to just happen. Pia, 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 push, push. And just come upon him. But that never happened. He said, I called the Lord. I saw the Lord thrice in prayer. When he said he saw the Lord, don't think that he was saying, God, come now. God, come. God, are you hearing me? Come. No, that's not what Paul did. Paul was praying. He was praying. He was praying wrongly. He was praying wrongly. He was praying. Holy Ghost! Holy Ghost! Come! Come! Come and change my story. This is my year. Come change my story. I'm sure it's glaring in our eyes right now that because I'm sure some of you have failed your New Year resolutions already. So it's glaring before us that people don't change because a new year started. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I'm sure you understand what I'm saying. Even if you are pretending, I'm very, very sure. We're just around 14, what's today's date? And I'm very sure you get this thing well. I'm very sure. This year, if I talk again, may my name change. This year, I'm not going to visit those people again. This year, I go respect myself. Maybe people respect me. This year, I'm not going to talk anyhow. This year, I'm not going to chop anyhow. This year, I'm not beg anybody. The righteous no beg for bread. This year, I mean, you almost died last week and you told a friend, you know, you had 3 options. Who wants to be a millionaire? Phone a friend. What's the second one? 50-50. Phone a friend. Ask the audience. You know, people do that. Have you seen people ask the audience before? God will bless anyone that will give me a recharge card on status. Ask the audience. Phone a friend. My guy, my guy. You know, yeah, no ghetto. Hallelujah. Amen. So I'm sure some of you are very sure now. You now understand that. Cry. And some of you, the devil is even like, people know they change you. People know if you change. We know if you change for this world, though. We know if you change. May everybody just, they try. On that day, only God knows which person belong to him. It's just the grace of God. We just, they try. Whatever we do in the flesh does not matter. He said, my yoke is easy. Then he says, my burden is light. Paul saw the Lord thrice. Come, come. You know, Paul was praying some wrong prayers. Pastor Chris said this many years ago. He said he was praying one time. And telling God to come and solve a problem in his life. As he was praying, then God opened his eyes. He saw himself going down into a well. A ditch. Very deep. It was dark. He was going down. Because of the things he was saying. God, come and help me. Come and help me, Holy Spirit. Holy Ghost, come now. Come now. If you like, mix tongues inside the thing. If it's wrong, it's wrong. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Hey, come down, oh, come down. As he was saying it, he saw himself going deep. Then he said, God, what is this? God said, change your prayer. Then he said, I'm born of God. I've overcome the world. Greater is he that is in me than he that is of the world. Hallelujah. He said, when he began to confess the right words, he saw himself out from the ditch. Oh, glory. These are not carnally devised fables. The words of a man either ensnares him or gets him free. It's the truth. Because the end of your faith is affirmed by your words. The Bible says we believe and so we speak. It's out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. What you say finally is what you believe. Are you listening to me? 3 times he prayed in religious wrong ways The Lord said to him, that's not how it works. Then God schooled Paul. He said, Paul, my strength is perfect in weakness. Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. So Paul understood that he didn't need anything from the clouds. He didn't need anything from outside him. That everything he ever needed was within him. He understood that there was a mystery that has been hidden for ages past. And what's that mystery? Christ in us. He began to understand his potential. I'm sure that's where Paul stood from and said words like this. I can now do all things. Not some things. All things through what? Christ who strengthens me. Say, I can do all things. He was schooled by God. He was schooled by the Holy Spirit. And now he knows he can do everything. He understands he has no limitation. Say, I have no limitation. I only see the glory. Oh, say it in faith. Say, I have no limitation. I only see the glory. My vision is full of the glory. In the name of Jesus. Oh, that's what happened to Paul. Now he can see every possibility in God. That's why he said, I can now do all things. Now, we're saying something in John 15. We have not forgotten it. In verse 2, the Bible says, if you do not bear fruit, the Father plucks you off. He said, but for those that haven't bear fruit, he said, bearing fruit can still put you in problem. God is not just excited because you are having small result yet. Follow me carefully. God is not excited because you are making small progress. There's a level God wants you to touch. The level he has destined you to touch. If you are not there, glory is not given to him. It's in you manifesting that level that gives him glory. Jesus said, glorify your son so that in your son you are glorified. That is what one of his prayers to the Father, I think in John 17, there about. So what gives the Father glory is that you are living a life of glory. Listen carefully. He said, those that produce fruit, he prunes. For producing fruit, they were also pruned. So that they produce more fruit. You see, God is not a mediocre. That you are just making little... No! Yes, he believes in growth. But you see, sometimes you may be delaying in growth. Let me explain this thing to you people deeper. You know why sometimes some people struggle through life? It's because God wants them to grow. Listen to me, people of God. That is why God allowed that temptation to come. Because he knows there's something in you that will be revealed when that temptation comes. He does not cause temptation. But sometimes he will allow the devil come. He knows the devil will not touch your life like Job. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? But he will just allow him to come. Because he's very sure there's something in you that needs to be revealed. So Paul, understanding this, said, rather than crying, count it all joy. Because God has remembered you. He never forgot you, actually. God has his time now. His light, the light on heaven, from heaven is shining on your head. Heaven is on your matter. That is why the situation is that tough. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? It's a kind of joy. Because God is about to work something out. Amidst this trial and temptation. Oh, but pastor, I give my seeds. I give my tithe. I'm serious with church. Why is this thing happening to me? Because God doesn't just want fruit. He wants more fruit. He's tired of this level. He wants a better level. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? Not just a better level. Your supposed level. In the Amplified version of Colossians 3:3, he wants your real life to manifest. What did he say in Colossians 3:3 in the Amplified rendition? He said, for you died to this world and your new real life is hidden with Christ in God. He wants your real life to find his expression. That life he destined you with from the beginning. Are you listening to me? How do you avoid situations like this? Match up with God's expectation about you. Match up with it. Are you people here tonight? What I just said, is not an algorithm for all of humanity. It's not a path that everybody must pass. It is situation that makes you to pass that path. What is the situation? You are refusing to grow. That is why you pass that path. But look at verse 3 of John 15. You will see that not everybody will pass that path. He said, but for you, you're already pure because of my word. Meaning you allow the word of God to gain ascendance. You accepted growth. You accepted your supposed level. And God said, there's no need for you to go through those things. But for you that will refuse growth, you must pass through such a situation. You allow Satan to come and do the dirty job. Then out of the situation, he will bring glory for himself. And what is glory for himself? That you live the best of your life. That you match up to the best of your potentials. That's glory for God. Glory for God is not that we bow. You know, some people think, see God wrongly. They say God, he's just claiming he's God. Some people that call themselves atheists. And he just wants people to be bowing down to him. Blah, blah. No! Who told you that? What is your worship doing to God? You think that moves God? He said worship should be in spirit and in truth. It's not cry that moves God. God is looking at you. You are crying. He is seeing the devil still biting you. You are crying. The devil is eating you. You are crying. If you can see the face of God, he's like, be serious with your life. Stand up and take that guy out. Worship is in spirit and truth. Meaning, don't just be crying and shouting. Accept the truth of my word. And when you accept the truth and the truth sets you free in the freedom, worship me. Where the spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. If you want to really experience true worship in the spirit, it's a function of liberty that came by truth. You see that? Very important. Hallelujah to Jesus. So you begin to match up to your supposed level. You can't sit with the word of God. See, stay with the word of God. Talk with the word of God. You know? Trying to make sure you are one with the word of God. And think small. You will explode. It's not possible to think small. You can't think with the word, sit with the word and think small. I read some documentaries about E.W. Kenyon. They call him the father of new creation realities. That's his nickname. His daughter said he will be anywhere in the restroom. He's reading the Bible. There are scriptures on the wall. While he's shaving, they will come to greet him. He's reading the Bible. He will answer them. He will be jumping. The word of God took the whole of his being. While they are eating, he can be eating and quoting one part of the Bible. He's eating and quoting one. I'm not saying he did not. He's not used to eat food. I say he's eating and still quoting. Allowing the word of God gain ascendancy in his spirit. To points where they say one of the testimonies that happened in his church was that they brought somebody with broken bone. That he stopped, he refused to stop teaching. I learned that too from Prophet Kubus. No matter the situation you bring, he will not touch the person till he's done teaching the word of God. I think another God's general that always used to come to Nigeria, what's that his name that starts with T? T.L. Osborne. He said that too, that no matter the situation, if he's teaching, if he like bring somebody and be crying, he's dead. He will tell people to keep quiet till he's done teaching. For T.L. Osborne, he said that if the person does not stand up while he's teaching, that is when he will lay hands on the person. But he was expecting the person to even stand up because faith comes by hearing. So they say, Kenyon will not move. Now one time they were distracting with a situation. He came to church, he was teaching, and he began to look at the person while teaching. As he was teaching, he was looking at the person's leg. You know, he was imagining the bone straight. When they interviewed him afterwards, he said, I was imagining the bone straight. And while he was teaching and looking at the leg, the bones were cracking in the service. They were hearing the bone cracking and adjusting in the service. Are you guys here tonight? Then there was a scripture quoted that God does not only do what you say, he does what you imagine. Oh, glory. That's why I say, whatever is good, think of them. Whatever is nice. Meaning, just create nice things, write nice things, and just be thinking of them. Don't think of bad things. I heard this story of a man of God, I think recently on TV, that many years ago, he had an issue with his car. You know, some people don't know that God wants them to have car. That's why they don't have car. They think God, you know, they always come and pour, make you feel emotional that you have not taught salvation, you are telling God to give you car. For you to even preach salvation very well, don't you think you need car? You think God prefers that you are on bike going to preach salvation than in car driving to go and preach salvation? It's just mediocrity. So, you know, sometimes when you talk like this, some people say, you're not a real Christian. Preach salvation. What is actually salvation? Greek, sozo. Hebrew, soteria. Both of them simply means wholeness. God did not come to save us in bits. We didn't lost things in bits. When we left Eden by disobedience of one man, we lost all the glory in Eden. God's focus was not on the glory in Eden, the money. That's not his focus. His focus is to make sure man understands his identity again. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? But what's the consequence of understanding his identity? He'll be back into Eden where there's everything he ever needs and will ever need. That's why the Bible says, at his right hand where we are seated with Christ, there are still pleasures forevermore. We didn't come to God for pleasures forevermore. We came to God to accept Jesus and be like Jesus. But the consequence of our decision is that we'll live in glory all the days of our lives. Do you understand what I'm trying to say to you? That's what the Bible says, seek first though. Then he said, every other word. Not bad things. So the preacher said, he sold one car that was giving him tough time, and it was 100,000, around 1990s, around 100,000. He sold the car. And while he was in the service, a prophet was preaching, and you know the story quite, I'll say it the way he said it, I don't want to say it to sound nicer, because I was disturbed. In this generation, you can't try that as a prophet. While the move of God was growing from generation to generation, prophets are learning every day. You know, they may not do it rightly, but of course, with time, they learn better. Are we together? So, he said the prophet announced that there's somebody here, God is saying you should drop 50,000. You know, if any prophet tries that today, he's on his own. Especially in Nigeria. You'll be finished. So he said, and his wife told him, you know it's two of us. God has been telling us to sow seed. So he just turned to his wife. His wife turned to him. They now removed 50,000 from the money because he just sold the car before they came to church. So they removed 50,000 from the money and went. You know, when I was young, I said I don't used to go to church with money. Because anytime I go, God used to tell me to give. I didn't used to go sometimes. But most times when I go, God will not tell me to go home and go and carry the money within the service and come and give. So when I understood that, then I started carrying everything I had to church. So that in case he said, give half, I will give. I'm not saying preaching for you to give. If you don't want to give, it's fine. Are we together? The pastor, they tried laws. They do know. And while they gave, some of you would have seen the story on the internet, Seth. He said, he was not sharing one of his pastor friends that when they meet, you know, and God told him to give to a prophet 50,000. The prophet even announced it. So they removed the 50,000 and they gave. Then the friend said to him, he just reminded me of what God told me to do. He now called his PA to bring his checkbook. So when the PA brought it, he wrote the other pastor's name that gave 50,000. I said, now, he said to the pastor, now I'm in the middle, like on the fence. I'm just wondering, because I wanted to give you a certain amount of money, but the Holy Spirit just increased it to a point I'm wondering whether I need to give it to you or not. So the other pastor said, maybe God is saying you should give me 50,000. He wanted to give me 20,000 or maximum 100,000. Now in that time, 100,000 was big money. God now told the pastor to give him 400,000. So the pastor said, I will do what the Holy Spirit is saying. He wrote 400,000. And the other pastor started shouting, hey, 400,000. He said, thanking the pastor. Thanking him. And when they went back home, him and the wife held their hand. They said, first thing we do when we enter this house, we'll kneel down and thank God. So they entered the bedroom. They knelt down and they said, thanking God. He said, when he finished thanking God, he just opened his eye and saw what he wrote on the wall. He wrote a Benz he wanted to buy. And the Benz was what? 400,000. He said when he wrote it, even him, he laughed. His wife too laughed. But now they had 50,000 extra that can take care of them well. So he went and he wanted a green Benz. So he went. It was in Lagos around my two, around Festac where they sell used car. They are still selling it today. They have not changed. He went there and he saw a good Benz. A blue one. But that was not the color he had when he wrote it on the wall. So he told the man, you know, and he said he didn't go with money because in Lagos, you don't walk around with such money. That in Lagos, if you are not wise, you cannot be wise anywhere. Do you people agree with that? That if you are not wise in Lagos, there is no state or country where you can ever be wise. You know, they say Lagos have people with experience and people with money. So when you meet somebody that have money that meets somebody that have experience, there will be an exchange. The person with experience will pass an experience to you and receive your money. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So you will go back with an experience, but you will go back with your money. And that's the beauty of Lagos. So, having had some experiences, he decided to go and check the car without the money. He left the money in the house. Told his wife to be watching the money in the house. He went and checked the car. When he saw the car, he now said the next day he will come and pay and carry the car. The next day when he came, they now told him, they said, Oga, you came yesterday for a blue car, but something that has never happened. He said, what was it? He said, overnight they brought some car, brown, Cherobas, and green, and it's for the same amount, sir. He said, green? He said, yes. He just put his hand on his head. That was the exact color he had written on the wall. Faith is specific. $400K. Many years ago in BSU, there was this young man who followed me. He has big dreams. Anytime I enter his house, he will write, I'll make my first million in this age. I'll drive my... He will just be writing, then his sister will laugh at him. She's a believer. She's the one that led him to Christ. That's why you must be careful. Some of you who are elder brothers and sisters or friends. Some of you are killing the faith of your friends and brothers and sisters. Sometimes they will even say in the house, I have eternal life. I say, hey! People, they say, you get eternal life. Do you understand? Sometimes it's siblings that kill your faith. The lady will laugh. One time, the Holy Spirit told me to call him. And I called him and encouraged him. I said, forget your sister. All these things you have said, you see it. I just said it lightly. It's not like God told me to tell him. I just wanted to encourage him. Do you know, as he said it, he saw it? Right now, the guy is working in millions. Like a miracle. It's the truth. The age he said it, that's how it's happening for him. Faith is specific. You know, one time I called somebody, someone close to me, I said, Are you beginning to plan for a car? And the person started laughing. So I said, why are you laughing? He said, sir, you know, it's not like I don't understand what you want to say, but I'm surprised that he's admitting what he wants to say. He said, sir, you know, I laughed. I said to him, be in faith. When I started saving for my first car, it was like a joke. I saved to a point it was almost a million. When it reached almost a million, I was now watching one man of God. Unstrung. I don't mention the name. As I was watching, I was just enjoying myself. Wow! Glory! Glory! Hallelujah! Running to the side of my house, the other side. I didn't know what made me to watch that channel that day. As I was finishing and crying and praying in tongues, the Holy Spirit just told me quietly, you have faith. I say yes. He says, sow that money into church. Not another church, into church. We had a project. I just ended the prayer. Shut up. I'm sure some of you have been there before. You just stop everything and just bone your face. Let the Holy Spirit not joke with you. Because this is a serious business. So I just ended it. I fronted my face. I'm sure that was the voice of a devil. I was just encouraging myself. Oh, glory to God, glory to God. I was trying to block the voice with my tongue. As I was sleeping, in the midnight I woke up. He woke me up. Like 3 a.m., 4 a.m., everywhere was just bright. Then I started feeling the presence of God. I knew where God was going. Then he said, trust me. The money. He now pointed the knees in church. I said, but they are doing their thing. I'm not disturbing them. Me too, I'm doing my thing. Let everybody do their thing. I tried convincing myself that I wasn't touching the church money. So as they are doing their thing, let them be doing. Me too, I'm partnering with church. It's not like I'm not a partner. So it's not like you call me now. It's me that will now sponsor everything that you are doing. Yeah. And why I argued was because I felt like I had sacrificed enough for God. I'm being sincere. I felt like I've done so much. So God should just allow me. Because I was coming out from a bank one day. I couldn't get a bike. I was so angry. And I said to myself, I need a car. I was with Mama Tio. I said, I think it's time to get a car. That time I'd already sold all the money. What did I even do? I was the one that used the money the way God wanted it. That's when we bought the Misa or something. We had a Misa. bought it, bought one or two things, but they were surprised. I was just buying things. They were coming. In fact, they were adding price, opening their mouth, saying things they want. I said, no problem. They think offering was big. Over $1 million something. They were, in fact, there was one time, I remember Pastor Emma, that I nearly slapped Pastor Emma. But some guy said, sir, that's not the original. The original is this one. They have it in jail. I said, okay, call for it. No problem. Everything was not the original. I said, buy original one. So we're just going for original. Sound print, sound card, sound. We bought it. The money finished. And I went back and gave God all the glory for finishing my money. Now I'm back to square zero. So when I came out from GT Bank that day, my eye was red. I was talking from pain. Mama T was not even understanding who this man is again. You know, coming with a fine lady, you just walk with a fine girl, go to the road. And I said, I need a car. I think this is over. I need to start driving now. I've been waiting for a bike. What's the meaning of all this? She didn't know what to tell me, whether sorry, oh, whether I beg, oh. She was just looking at me. I said, just take bike and go home. Go home. Don't worry, I'll be fine. She stopped by. I said, okay, sir. She just took bike and left. I was there. Then I started walking. Before somehow I now saw one bike. And it took me. And in that season, if a bike wants to take you, the bike will be very wicked. If it's 500, they will say 700. So I said, how much? He said 700. I said, take me. No problem. I knew where Satan was coming from. I took the bike. I went back home. And I started thanking God. In pains. Giving God praise. Worshipping God. You know, when you are worshipping God and wondering where the thing will come from and you are not seeing. Well, thank God. Then you are doing a calculation. You are still thinking of your own means. What should I do now? Father, I give you praise. I give you praise. All of a sudden. Money in my account. From left, right, center. I tell you the truth. Like a miracle. In fact, there was a time I received ₦1 million in a day. It's not a joke. I said, what is this one? I said, sir, it has been in my heart. I've been saving. I said, no, no, you don't have to do this at all. Sir, you see, I said, oh. No, I don't like it. But I received it. Especially because I was married. So I had to receive it. Because even if I don't want it, the family wants it. Hallelujah to Jesus. It was beyond my imagination, the way God did it. I remember one time I just woke up, I checked what was in the account. It was what I needed to buy a car. When I ever went to Lagos to greet my family, I said I was going to buy a car in 2 days, which is impossible. You know, if you want to go and buy a car in Lagos, you take 1 week, 1 month. So that you are searching every day. But my dad was with me, so I took the advantage of him, the military, where I was not even paying for any bus. And when we come down, they just tell us, thank you for entering. And we're just, you know. So sometimes he would take me and come back. He doesn't pay. Me, I'll be checking around. And I remember what happened. You know, faith is specific. I searched. Oh, everybody was saying, if you want a good one, it should be 3 point something. And I got to this part that the car was accidented. I know how to check cars very well. It was good engine, but accidented. I was so tempted. I said, God, I'm tired. Maybe I should just carry this. I even told the guy I'll buy it. The guy was so happy. They were preparing the papers. Why they were doing it? The Holy Spirit said, leave this place. So I told the guy, I'm coming. Let me buy something. I lied, though. That was the only way out. Ask Abraham. He will tell you. So I left. I just, when he was not looking, I just bent one side. I just entered one street. I don't know. Walking. Then there was a man I met. And my dad said, that man looked like an agbero. That should not go close in for a car. The Holy Spirit now said, go to the man for a car. And I told my dad to send me the man's number. He said, I've warned you. That guy, the way he was even talking. I warned him that I should not cheat you. But I know he's an agbero. Don't go there. Oh. I'm warning you now. I said, send the number. I will not go. I just want to ask him for direction out of this place. I don't know where I am. So he sent the number, I called the man and I went there. Because he was seen in the flesh. That's, he meant well, but he was seen in the flesh. As I went there, the guy just saw me. He said, "Officer Piquet." I said, "Yes." "Ah, he was smoking. That's one proof that I should have not come. Smoking hard." "Yes, I'm okay. Oh yeah, I'm okay. Follow me, follow me, follow me." I thought he had car. He didn't have car. He was asking of car in my front. He just entered my place. "Who get car? Who get car? Who get car? Who get car?" "Now, officer Pekino, they need to cheat this one. Who get car? Who get car? If sound, officer go kill you. Who get car? Who get car?" So they showed me one or two. I was not pleased with it. I saw gear problem, this one problem, because I had a little machine I carried there. So I said, no, I was not interested. They were going, you know Lagos, they convince you if you are not sensible. I was rejecting, till I got to the car. As I saw the car, the Holy Spirit said, "Pay for this car." I've not even seen it. So I said, check everything. It was okay. Had a little problem that I can fix on the road, even going home. Because I know the problem. Just a little thing. And I said, "I want this car." While I was saying I wanted the car, they were bringing another person who also said he wanted the car. No, this one is not their prank. You know, they do those kind of prank, but this is not a prank. So I said, "Okay, I want the car." They said the amount, and I'm pretending like the amount was so high, even though it was very low. So I said, "They should reduce something. They now reduce 50,000. I said, "You still reduce. You know, it's market now. You have to just..." So when the man was seeing the car, I just said, "I like this car. Small, with a Yoruba tone." I said, "Where's the account number?" "This is..." I said, check your account. I'll send the money." "Check." I said, "Write my receipt." The man just said, "Hey, no, I want this car." They said, "They've already bought it." I said, "Hey, no, I want it." They said, "The guy has already bought it." That's how I collected the papers. I did not even vet that car whether it was stolen. As I checked on the internet, I was surprised it was not stolen, nothing. I left there. When my dad saw the car and his mechanic saw the car, they say, "Where did you go and buy this car? You alone?" I say, "Yes." He said, "This is your boy. He should start doing car business. He knows car. This is so sound. And the amount you even said is as if they steal the car." Guess what happened? Somebody just traveled out of the country and left the car. The manual was still inside. Everything about the car. He just got the car and had maybe something had to do with school or something. And he just traveled out and left the car and told them to sell the car. The new car, the direct version they wanted to sell, when I saw it, I saw that this one was even better than it. Because I knew the car, I knew car to an extent. Faith is what? Specific. And that was the same car I wanted. You know, before I went to buy the car, people were saying, the amounts. Before you get a good one, the amount. No. But I said, I must get the car with this amount. You know, the way I think is this. If I want to go and do something, right, and I needed to do something for God, and maybe the thing ranges around 250 to 300, I would tell people, if I can remove this 100,000 and give to God, they will sell me that thing for 250 or 200. That's how I tell people. I said, "Do you know why the favor will come? Because I obey God." That's how my mentality is. So I don't give, do things, and I remain the jar for God. No, I do what I need to do. I've been in a situation where 2 minutes to the thing. See, I'm a very big gambler in the spirit. It's not a joke. 2 minutes to payment, I don't have the money. But I'm pricing like I can buy the company. I don't say go and try this at home. Try it with faith. I told you my experience going to EFCC office. I entered a taxi car. Because it was on a Friday, I went to minister in Kefi. So I told my lawyer, "We want to collect our square mail certificate for church before they close our account. Please help me to go and get it, blah, blah, blah." And he said, "Pastor, it's ready, but this is Friday, it's half day, and you are going there after 4. It's not possible now, they've closed." I said, "Sir, I have to go there. I'm going back tomorrow on Saturday to go and preach on Sunday in church. I can't stay till Monday." And he said, "Sir, no miracle can happen, no." When he said no miracle can happen, I was scared. And I said to myself, a miracle must happen. Now, this is foolishness to humanity. EFCC office, Friday. After 4. And I kept on going. Then I saw this big bus. You know that bus around under Karu Bridge? And that big bus that moves like chameleon. Snail. When I saw the bus, they said I should take that bus. I said, "No, not this bus." And I asked Tazi how much. They now called 10 times the amount the bus is taking. I said, "Take me there." As we're going, nothing in the account. As we're moving, money for the taxi entered my account. Boom. I said, what is that your amount again? He said the amount. I said, call the account number. I said, you know, in my mind, if we reach there, he will not still do anything to me. I just had this crazy fit. Nothing will happen. I'll still tell him, take me back. When he said, wait for me, I'll say, how much will it take for you to wait for me? He said, I say, wait for me. That was the kind of faith I had. Jesus said, go and meet anybody that has a donkey. Tell him that the master wants to use it. I told you one of my experience, my protocols in Uniagric, they stopped a lecturer's car and told them our pastor what to use it. Me, I finished ministration, was happy they got boats for me. I entered the car, I was gisting the owners of the car. You know, you're drivers. The two lecturers were wondering, but they were following the gist. Oh my God. They were so humble. So, you know, so why is this business going? They were answering me fine. God is faithful. So we're able to book people from, you enter Uniagric. I start talking about the faith, you know, Christianity. They were just answering and flowing and we're laughing. When we reached, they carried me to my house, parked me in the front of my house. So when they finished, I said, how much is the money? I told my protocol. He said, sir, actually, come like this. I said, actually, I told them, our pastor has need of the car. They were now, they were dumbfounded. Then I said, I should call the pastor, no problem. Sir, they are not expecting anything. And I called this and I said, hey, you have killed me. Why did you not tell me to use my head? I was making mouth, yes. So all of a sudden, I now went to the window. I said, una good evening, yo. I'm so sorry, yo. I did not know that he's free rider. I would have stopped at Wurukun and taken back to the house. I thought it was both. I'm so sorry. They said, oh, pastor, no problem. We enjoyed us. As they were going, I said, God. I entered the house, I was even sweating. I said, see what these people have put me inside. What I thought people have put me inside shop. The master has need of it. That's what Jesus said. Don't try this at home. Try it with faith. No. Was Jesus not sounding like he was crazy? Meet any man you see outside with a Lamborghini. Sorry, a donkey. And tell him I need it. You are the one wondering whether you have money. Go to the mouth of a fish. Catch the first fish. Open the mouth. You're going to see money. I'm scared. Hallelujah. I'm a creator. A creator. I create possibilities. You know, there are two realms of faith I want to touch a little bit before we go home. Faith takes you out from the realm of darkness into light. Then the Holy Spirit works upon you so much that you can now receive all of the possibilities in the kingdom. If your faith is that you are in darkness calling forth for your privileges in light, you are wasting your time. You go through trials and toil for a long period of time. By faith, the Bible says Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh. He saw the glories. He said, I will not be in this unrighteous place. He left there and led the children of Israel into the promised land. You can't be in sin and be fitting things in the spirit. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? That's why the year is always, you guys make it look like God is not faithful. I mean, in this your situation, the way you like women, if God gives that $1 billion you have been fitting, will you not die? He would rather leave you in the wilderness for many years. Not because he hates you, but because he prefers your soul than your comfort today. What can a man offer in exchange of his soul? Nothing. You got to be realistic. Real faith will take you out from darkness yet before you start calling all of these things in the glory. Demanding all of these things in the glory. Are you listening to me? Make up your mind to work with the Holy Ghost. Make up your mind. See, be full of faith. We have not received the spirit to fear again, but the spirit of sound mind. Of power, of love. Like I gave an illustration with that young boy that the father said, cross it. Don't expect God to come and hold your hands and say, live above sin. No, he did something in you and he said, he called you a debtor afterwards. He said, if the same spirit that's raised you from the dead dwells in you, that same spirit has what? Quicken your mortal body. He said, therefore, brothers and sisters, you are debtors unto me. Debtors not to walk in any dictates of the flesh. Debtors to, by your spirit, mortify the desires of your flesh. Meaning he's putting the responsibility on you, just like that father. There's a limitation. You will not see his hand, but his glory is within you. He has capacitated you. His DNA is in you. You are born of him. You see things in his image and likeness. You share in the same nature of him, with him. So he cannot come and hold your hand and say, no, nobody holds his hands to overcome trials. And you are like him. The Bible says we are born of God, and by that reason we have overcome the world. Because greater is he that is in us than he that is of the world. You see that? What is the potency that can cause you to overcome the world? The fact that you are born of God. The fact that you are what? Born of God. In other words, don't wait for God to come and take you out like Paul was waiting on God. His strength is perfect in what? His grace is what? Sufficient for you. God's grace right now in you is too sufficient. It's so much sufficient. Say no to any form of unrighteousness. Say the grace of God has appeared to all men. Teaching them. Teaching them. What are we doing now? We're teaching you how to say no. How to at the end say no. How am I teaching you? You see us quote, tell you what Jesus has done in his death, burial, and resurrection. These are the reasons why the front end of your life will be so beautiful. If you're a programmer, what I'm teaching you now are the PHPs, the JavaScript, and the etc. for backend. So that when you are done with the backend, anything you are demanding in the front end will be working. You can live the glorious life. Are you here tonight?
Yes,
sir. So I refuse to fail.
I refuse to fail.
I refuse to be a prey to the devil. Are you here? Yes,
sir.
I refuse to be a prey to the devil. I'm above holy. You're going to say it every time with so much passion. Don't say it like you have lost. Say it with so much pessimism. No, not say it. Be so optimistic. Hey, sit down. Come on, sit down. Be so optimistic. Some of you don't want to grow. You just stand up and be moving around. How are you going to? It's 2025. You are still moving around. Are you listening to me? So pessimistic about life. Have time to confess the word of God. Have time. See, success in God is not a coincidence. It's never a coincidence. I have no fear in my heart about anything negative as long as I've made up my mind to stay in faith. I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth. If a stone needs to change to bread to save me out of a situation, if God said, see, Simon, this is a stone, change it to bread. I hear the voice of God. I will stay there. In days, it will change. As long as God said that can happen, it must happen in my life. That's how I see life. I don't see the negative. I only see the positive. I can't die of sickness. I'm not saying it with fear. I'm saying it with confidence. I can't die of lack. I can never be in lack. I'm full of glory. All my needs are met. We have mind-blowing visions. We'll write it down. We are not scared. Living above sin. Living above fear. Living above sickness. Living above delay. Oh, I refuse to be delayed. Satan has no hold over me. No hold over my life. No hold over my family. Over my business. Satan has no hold. We're not talking like he's there. We're trying to remove him. No, he has no right to anything that concerns me. Because I live in the glory. I live in the glory. I don't think fear. There's no possibility of sin in my DNA. No, there's no potency of sin. I am full of light. I'm full of life. As the Father has life in himself, so does the Son. I have the very nature of God. He said, beloved, you are born of God, and so you have overcome the world. You have overcome the world. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is of the world. Oh, the greater one lives in me. He said, by the understanding of his great and precious promises. What are these promises? Stuffs like Romans 6:6. He said the old nature of sin, oh glory. He said it has been crucified. Back to the cross, back to the tree. He said, and that is why right now we are no slaves to sin any longer. Then in 7, he said, he that is dead in Christ is freed from sin. Then down to verse 12, around 10, it says, acknowledge, recall, see yourself, recognize yourself to be dead with Christ and alive unto him unto righteousness. Then in verse 12, he said, hey, do not let sin reign as a result of everything we have said. Don't allow. See what God have done. Destroy the old nature. So you don't allow sin. Like that young man, if you see a limitation, cross it. Don't allow sin. Tell sin to get out. Because you have every reason not to sin. Say this word with me. Say, I have every reason. Not to sin. What is every reason not to sin? Everything Jesus did in his death, burial. And that thing is not a direct solution for sin. Listen. God did not do those things so that you just avoid sin. He did those things so that you live a glorious life. Just that one of the results of living a glorious life is that we overcome sin. And that's why the Bible says we are not just conquerors. It says we are more than. More than. So I don't live my life saying, oh, devil, the devil, I may sin tomorrow. Tomorrow, Lord, block my eyes from every lady, every man, blah, blah, blah. No. I don't have any potency for sin. That's how we talk. You check my DNA, you can't find anything that looks like Satan. The Bible spoke about Jesus, that the devil came to him and found no place in him. Satan has no place in me, because as he is, so am I. In this present world. See, as I'm saying it, it's difficult to just, you know, relate with that thing, but that's you. Somebody say, that's me. That's you. Don't allow the devil close your mouth. Don't allow any circumstance close your mouth. Let the weak say, I'm strong. Insist on your reality. I'm strong. I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Insist. That's who you are. The reason why Satan causes you to sin and comes with a lot of guilt afterwards is because he wants you to remain in that level of sin. He wants you to think that you are a masturbator. You are a pornographer. If there's anything like that, you are a if you do an abortion, what is your name? Abortionist. You are a you can call all the names, killer, whatever, and etc. But that's not who you are. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. As he is, so are you in this presence of God, in this present world. You are born of God. You have overcome the world. Because the greater one lives in you. You are a partaker of his divine nature. And have escaped the corruption that is in the world through love. You have been bought with a price. You are the apple of his eye. You have authority over angels. You have authority over the body. You have authority over your flesh. You are no one trying to offer your body. You are one that his body has been offered. I live by the dictates of the Spirit. Woo! We have no confidence in the flesh. That is why we boast the way we boast. Our confidence is in the Spirit. We have no confidence. Looking at what Jesus has done. No. I can never walk in sin. No, I'm not scared. I'm full of faith. I live in glory. I live in glory. A pastor, it has been 20 years in this life. It doesn't matter how long you were there. What matters right now is what you are hearing. I have a news for you. He that had power over death, the devil has been destroyed. He has power over death. To be carnally minded is death. Meaning if you are carnally minded, he has power over you. Alright? But you see, we are spiritually minded. And for us, we begin to live the life of God and enjoy the peace of God. We are not in his realm. Why? We are not carnally minded. We are not in the realm of death. He said from Adam to Moses, death reigned. But not for us. The least in the kingdom, the greatest in the Old Testament, the Bible said no man born of John of women was greater than John the Baptist. He was the best prophet in the Old Testament. But the Bible said in the kingdom, the least, meaning the last person who became born again even today, is greater than John the Baptist. The greater one lives in me. You can tell your mother to stop being a stroke patient after I'm done tonight. You are not scared anymore. There is no fear in your heart. You go back and remove turmoil. Are you listening? I said you remove turmoil from your father's body. Oh my goodness. We are saviors from Zion. Saviors. We are not just coming to church and our mental centers. Whatever is not right, we remove it from the way. He said, before us a fire divorce. He said, behind us a desolate land. He said, nothing escapes them. Nothing escapes them. Nothing escapes me. That's how you talk. Marabashukabaya. You know, that is why you always see the vision. One time I woke up in the night, I saw my father going mental. He was going mental. It was a devil. Some brothers in the village who never went to school are trying to make him mental. When I heard the words, I stood up in the fire of the Holy Ghost. Why did God show me so that I would stop them? And I sent them on the run with the fire of the Spirit. I saw them running for their lives. Marabakabashalaba. Because I'm the blood on the doorpost of my family. And nothing can happen without my permission. Not even Satan can enter without my permission. He dares not. He has been stopped by the blood on the doorpost. The blood, this one is not a blood on the doorpost. This is a walking, living blood. Because the blood represents life. I'm an expression of the life of God. That's why the Bible says we are walking epistles, living epistles, written and read by all men. Where would the devil come from? Why are you scared that your father will die? Your father will not die. They say, why? Because I don't want him to die. Then when you say those things, you don't cry. You laugh. Some things are not crying. They are laughing sessions. You know, when you hear things like people are plotting against your father, in Psalms 2, the Bible says, when they plot against the anointed one, the Bible does not say angels started crying or shouting and saying back to sender. The Bible says, he that sat on the throne in the heaven, he said, he shall laugh. Meaning, that David said, I picture God laughing. That was a joke. That you are in that house and Satan is plotting against your mother. He's joking. He's joking. It is a joke. You know, some things cannot happen to you. It's not. It's just, imagine that Mary was sick and she died before Jesus died. It's not possible. Satan cannot think of some kind of things because you are there. He can't think. He must be stupid. I tell you, if they have happened before your very eyes, you are not alive in the spirit. Awake unto righteousness and sin not. Awake all ye that are asleep, and the light of God shall shine into your heart. You need to wake up from your slumber. When you wake up, these things will stop. I tell you the truth. The blind will see. The deaf will hear. These are the realities of the child of God. These are things that atheists need to understand. Not blaming God for why your mother died. Stop your mother from dying. He has given us the authority on the earth. He said, I've created man in my image and likeness, and I've set him over all the works of my hands. Meaning God wants to rule the earth through us. No wonder he said in Ephesians 3:20, he said, I can do exceedingly abundantly above all your thought or imagine, according to the extent, according or to the extent of my power that is at work in you. Meaning if you allow the power 90 degrees, 90%, it will come 90%. 100%, it will go 100%. 2%, it will flow 2%. 10%, it will flow 10%. God stops where your faith stops. Because without faith, it is impossible to move God, to please him, to move him. The only thing that moves God is your faith. The Bible began to speak about the faith in 1 Corinthians 3. He spoke about how that God has done so much great and mighty things for us. He said, what manner of love has the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called sons? Went about to explain how much wonderful we are, sons. Then he says at the end, I think around 3, he says, but the victory, meaning all I've said is not the victory. All what God has done is not the victory. He said, the victory that overcomes this world is not everything I've written. It's our faith. Our belief in all that has been written. He said, that's the victory. What is faith? Believing and speaking. We believe and so we speak. It's not enough to be redeemed. The redeemed must say so. In other words, if he said, we are sons of the living God, we don't just stop there. We come out and say we are sons. We must understand the complexity of what it means to be a son. What does it mean to be a son? It means we're born again. We're born again, not of corruptible seed. We're born of incorruptible, from incorruptible seed. We're not born from the dictates of a man and a woman coming together anymore. We're born of the Spirit. And so our nature is spirit. We are offsprings of God. We are offsprings of God, sons of the living God. We are in this world, but our world is not in this world. We are on the earth, not of the earth. We are aliens from heaven. And so nothing from Satan can affect your life. Nothing from Satan can affect your family, because you are supernatural. Not just supernatural. You hold the highest place in the supernatural outside Christ Jesus. Outside Christ. After Christ, it's you before any angel and any stinking demon. Oh, no devil in my world. I never panic about Satan. Never. 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 I force myself not to panic. They said the devil is in the neighborhood. I ask for bones. I'm not scared of the devil.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's Word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays, first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.